we'll do is look at the draft agenda, which we have here in front of us. And that is a revised agenda. We actually put on the SOEs first because members are new, some of them, and they may not be familiar with all the old territory that was covered, notwithstanding handovers. But we were informed of a deadline that had, and that deadline is today before 12. So it has to go through. And I'm going to, after we've processed the agenda itself, under apologies, who do we have, Mr. Hermans?
We received the apology from Mr. Kobasa, who is attending the provincial congress. Mr. Salau, who has a family bereavement and wasn't able to be here.
No, she told me she didn't think.
Okay, but that, maybe. And then I have... No, she didn't want to be there. And then I have further no other apologies.
Right. Ms. van der Merwe is here, coming. That's not true. You know, not accurate.
Yeah.
Because you informed me last night.
And Mr. Mabasa indicated to me we will be here, but you will also be attending the EDB meeting.
Yeah, well, we'll need to start off with the ministers at night. This is why I said we'd start off with that at 9:15. We also have a member who had a bereavement in his immediate family, Honourable Salah, and he heard about that late yesterday afternoon. And he's flying back to Swani or something, to Gauteng, to attend to those matters. That was totally unforeseen. The whip informed his secretary a little while ago that there was a challenge with buses. That was at 7:00. And the only other person we have an apology from is Advocate Alberts is on his way. He is on his way, if I can make that clear. So from the various parties, which I think is important, we have a full compliment from the DA. The IFP are going to be informing me of certain changes, I believe, and the ANC will be doing the same. So that, you know, we'll deal with that the next term. But the people who should be here from the ANC are Mr. Honourable Mabasa, Honourable Khadebe, and Honourable van der Merwe, and the chair. So with those four, the two DA, plus we needed to have Mr. Alberts to pass this particular report, as I think I indicated to the head of the DA contingent, the leader here, the Honourable James. So I'm just mentioning that to you before we do any adopting. So just a minute while we check the status of the quorum on that basis. I'd like to now to return to members. of apologies moving to the adoption of the agenda. Honourable James.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to register for the minutes our extreme displeasure at having a committee present of four. I understand that there are unforeseen circumstances, but that does not explain the fact that we are not quorate. So I just wanted that registered for the minutes, please.
I think it's a very valid point, and it will be noted as such. Thank you, Honourable James. I'm not too sure about Honourable McIntosh, because we didn't receive an apology. And he usually is here on time, in fairness to him. So I will get staff to ascertain his whereabouts. But I can't comment other than that at the moment. So we'll come to DTI as soon as we get to 9:15. But in the meantime, welcome to the Minister and to the DG and the team. Thank you. Right. Now, if we can get someone on that basis to at least recognize and accept a position on the agenda. We can't adopt something until we have a quorum, as you know, Honourable James. So we accept the position as it is at the moment. Thank you. And we go to the consideration of committee's report on state-owned enterprise, which had a deadline for today. And if you look at that, I know Honourable Mabasa will be very familiar with it. I am. You may be from your other committees of the process, Honourable James and Honourable Jordan Hill Lewis. But I'd like to just go through this page by page and add anything that we may need to add in terms of what the committee has said in the past. On the page one, for example, that is fairly straightforward in terms of the mandates, etc. But when we come to the regulatory institutions, you will see that a lot of these here coming up, CIPCO or Company and Intellectual Property Commission, one needs to note the changes in that respect, which would be different to the previous report. Do you follow that particular one, 2.3.1? The Companies Tribunal, very similar but much the same. The Estate Agency Board, we never ever did anything with the Estate Agency Board because in so many ways it seemed as if the issues coming up under that area may well move to another department or ministry. We were never too sure, but we did deal with certain challenges that had arisen in the department then. The National Consumer Commission, you're well aware of that, I think, one way or the other, NCC. The National Consumer Tribunal, dealing with the applications under the NCR and so on, I think that to some extent you may be more familiar with that than some of the others. The National Credit Regulator, most South Africans are familiar with. The National Gambling Board, you're very familiar with. And you're right up to date as the National Lotteries Board. When it came to the technology, the standards, and that kind of thing, and innovation, these are areas that have always been the Cinderella in this portfolio committee. And we've seen that to our cost, because certainly there are challenges probably arising in one or two of them, but for the most part, they run a very tight ship. And up to now, we haven't really had a problem, and our problem is that when we don't see a problem, we leave it alone, which perhaps is the wrong thing. And when you deal with the Strat Plan, which will a draft will be here sometime today or Monday for next week, the draft one for the committee, you will see that that is one of the issues you ought to bring up. You should not just leave them as we've done year after year, and then in the final analysis bring one in desperately at the end. So you can see there the public challenges, all of them right there, public entities. They listed. And I'm not going through that. I just thought I would share those two things with you. The ones about the export credit thing, what became apparent there were some of the risks. And I do think that, again, they tried to deal with that as effectively as they could. But if you simply read the first bullet there on page 4 under the ECRC 3.2.1, you can see there that no sooner are people brought in and trained up, they're poached. And one, the, you know, this particular entity can't seem to keep on top of that. The other thing further on here has been the issues about the IMUs, etc., agreements and so on, but nothing, you know, the sort of thing that perhaps we can expect to be confronted with. Then on in page 5, and I mean, I think the WIP, if there's anything I've overlooked, because the decision we took, it wasn't a decision, it was a position, because we don't have a quorum, we're waiting for Honourable Alberts and, you know, fine. But was that we are doing this, but that because we have two new members, they won't be as aware as you, me, and the Honourable Mabasa. When we came to the NCC, I said people are familiar with this, and the only thing is that you were not here last year in November. And in last year, we brought them in twice. And on one specific occasion, a number of issues came up in relation to the expenditure, the budget processing, the records, etc. And we requested as a committee certain things to be available, and we are still awaiting them. This is the last opportunity they would be having, I think it's Tuesday, to bring them in. But also, although the minister's not dealing with that specifically, we are dealing with the budget there per se, the global budget of DTI. Then the I'm not going through these blow by blow because I highlighted the key issues here, the ones that posed a challenge to all of us. But the one that I never referred to is on page 7, and that is the National Empowerment Fund. And you can see under 3.6.1, that particular issue, which I'm sure you were briefed on by Mr. Harris, the committee had raised that concern, and you know that there had been that impairment during that earlier cycle and so on. The other issue that had been raised in this regard was that of the triple B, double E, etc., that it appeared to have decreased in some way. Yet the other one which we looked at here was 3.6.5, interest rates offered to black business. Do you see that there? The committee raised a concern with respect to interest rates being offered at commercial levels. These are government entities, public entities. I expected to compete with commercial banks. At least I didn't think so. Well, certainly the committee didn't think so. And then you have, I'm not going through the National Gambling Board because we're all authorities on that, and the NLB. When it came to the others, what we were expected to do in this report, Ms. Herling, you will tell us, so that was, it came to us very recently, and it relied on historical information, work we'd already got under our belt. And in short, it required us to put together, really, to try and compile a report from what we had done in these and what challenges we discovered. Can you indicate the precise terms of reference?
As far as we've been made aware, we need to create or adopt a report which will feed into a cluster report in terms of economic affairs. And then the process from that, we haven't been made aware of what exactly will be happening, but it will feed into the Presidential Review Commission's process then.
The clarification I sought was historical. What have you experienced as the challenges? What extract this, distill it from the reports you've done. Now, this report was compiled some time ago because we did it for ourselves in preparation for the Strat Plan, and it's had one or two things change, such as the first page, and it was at the last page or so, I think, but that's about it. Nothing else. So it's nothing new, but a compilation. So you can't adopt it, but you can comment. May I see any hands for comment? Not adoption. Jane?
As you know, thank you, Chair. As you obviously know, I'm new to the committee, so I don't know the history to the preparation of this document. I have given it a quick glance, and there's nothing in here that I find particularly disturbing, and there are recommendations at the end that seem to be consistent with my experience with those aspects of the committee's work that I've been involved in. My only concern would be is that, mindful of comments of the Minister of National Planning, that we must not every year just add things to the budget and have an accretion system in budgetary terms, that there are hard choices to be made, that many of our recommendations have implications for the comments we would make on the budget at a later stage. And so that would be my only comment on this.
Well, when I did read this last night, you know, I realized it certainly was as historical as I had been told one was familiar. I just thought you may not have been, you know, but it's absolutely nothing new that we've done in the committee. Honorable
Hadebe? Comrade Chairperson, I think that this report goes to the heart of what we did dealt with previously. But as I said, that what is still lacking on the side of the committee, that's what I'll be trying for. We're very fortunate that our budget vote is going to be somewhere on the 16th of May. I think that more of these entities must come back and present to them, to us, their strat plans. For example, like South African Bureau Standards. Because when comes to the issue of the import and export, it's very critical that in our ports of entry, the South African Bureau of Standards looks at all the goods which are coming to the country and those which are leaving the country to ensure that they will receive quality goods inside the country. Because if you can remember the saga of the paraffin stoves, which have created a lot of problems all over the country, in particular in the informal settlements, where they started the fires. I think that we must get in the bodies like the South African Bureau of Standards so that if necessary, we have to beef up their budget so that we can increase their capacity. Because what's the use of having an institution which cannot be able to fulfill its mandate? So what is critical to us is to ensure that what we observed, for example, like the National Regulator of Standards, those bodies are critical for the survival of our economy. So what is critical for us is that we must bring them closer to us. We know that we had a lot of public hearings, but what I'll appeal for on the side of the table is to ensure that these bodies come and present their strength plans before we go to the budget vote, so that as we go to the budget vote, we are able to give the country the guidance of what must happen around those institutions. Because if they don't come, that's what is going to happen. We are going to omit them even in our speeches. And then it means that the oversight then will be too thin that the community will understand what the problems we are faced with. So that when we say that we request extra money or extra budget from the national fiscus, everyone must be able to support that position. But they cannot support it if, Chair, they don't know what is involved there and how important these institutions are. Thank you, Chair.
No, I think that, sorry, Honourable Mabasa.
No, thanks, Comrade Chair. I also think that it's a well-drafted report, and thanks to the drafters. And following on the words of our whip here, I will add that it's important that the entities identify areas that make them to complement each other, so that you will find that some entities have a certain common areas, so that they don't move as if there is no relationship between them. And also the fact that the other thing is that it will be good that at all times they are reminded of the five priorities of government, so that they at all times ask themselves, how do we contribute to this? E.g., how do we contribute to job creation? In what we are doing, how do we contribute to job creation? How do we reduce crime? So that those priorities are kept in mind all the time. The last comment is the fact that it is recognized that in play is Southern Africa, but also Africa. That's also an important point which they must also keep in mind. Thanks.
Well, you see, this is it. We've got this put together by the staff here from our previous work, and I think if we can, you are just capturing some of the points made so that you're able to print it and we can adopt it in perhaps an hour. So I hope you have just got those points. I merely wanted to add one thing here about the entities with our agreement here. It's along the lines of what I think the whip has already indicated, what you yourself have indicated, Honourable James and Honourable Mabasa, one thing in common, as it were. Yes, it's historical. But in so many ways, where we're going forward, or do we go forward with this simply to say, let's just give them more and more money? You know, it doesn't really matter whether they give us value or not. Are they giving us value? How do we measure that value? And what is the purpose of these state-owned entities in the first place? Historically speaking, when you look at it, whether it's been Britain, Canada, I don't know, some of the others, Sweden and so on, they share one common thing. It must in some way serve and fill the gap that that the state identifies, maybe even the private sector, but is to take the nation forward progressively in a way that benefits, in our case, the economy, others, social, but together the development of the country. So I do think the question here to me is, has every one of these entities achieved this? And many of you sitting here in the short while you've been with the committee would be able to say, well, I haven't been here long enough to do a full assessment, but it would appear as if when they may not be getting full value, and maybe it's going to be pertinent for the committee in future to assess this sort of thing at the end of a year and not wait for the president or somebody else to call in and say, can you assess this? I'm not giving anything new. This is what we agree on, is it not? Would we agree to put that in as a kind of line within this, broadly speaking, that we would want to call on the committee to ensure that we have such an evaluation at the end, and we can take a broader report to the House, not the budget report or whatever, but entities. What are they giving us? I know they're giving themselves, in some cases, maybe not this crowd, lots of bonuses. We all know that. But what else are they doing besides the bonuses, all right? So, yeah, and I think the DTI ones, they're probably barely paying staff, so to speak. But never mind. Man doesn't live on bread alone, does he? So, some agencies took that one to heart and others didn't. Right, so members, what I'm going to ask for is that to be done in an hour to get it back to adopt. I'm also going to ask for 2 minutes to assess the quorum. Thank you.